Okay, let's talk a little bit about practice. This has got to be, you know, this is probably the most active discussion in all of non-duality. Should I practice or should I not practice? And what I want to tell you, number one, is that if you're watching this video, that's your practice until you're doing something else. So we're all practicing. What we're really talking about is, do I need to do a formal practice or not? If we're reading a book, that's our practice until we're doing something else. If we're cooking our dinner, that's our practice until we're doing something else. Because everything that we're doing is pulling us closer and closer to awakeness, further down the path. But formal practice is what we're really talking about. So there are what I'm going to say, there are three divisions to practice. You know, we just talk about this. We just divide all this stuff up so that we can talk about it. It's not like there are actually levels or actually divisions or actually any of this. These are all teaching constructs. These are just it's just a way of moving the knowledge forward or moving the conversation forward. And we, in order to do that, the mind chop, 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 chops things up a little bit. And the great divider creates separation where there is none. So in this case, what I want to do is talk about different levels of practice. And the first thing is practice as a seeking mechanism. And this is probably going to be unavoidable. So I'm not telling you, if you're a seeker, don't practice. I'm not saying that at all. Because number one, you're doing what you're doing, and you cannot do otherwise until you can. So your first practice there is going to be, I should accept the fact that I am practicing or I'm not. And again, we're talking about formal practice. That I do have a formal practice or I don't. I meditate every day or I don't. I do inquiry every day or I don't. I do awareness, the noticing of awareness. Everything's here. I notice everything's still awake. All of that, or I don't. Lots of different practices. I'm looking through the body instead of as the body. That's a practice, and it's a very. All of these may be very good practices, but as seeking practices, we cannot not seek to get elsewhere. That's the definition of seeking. We're seeking outside of ourselves. There really is no outside of ourselves. But we're languaging here. So we are ostensibly seeking outside of ourselves for something that will complete us. And in the seeking mechanism, we are seeking for knowledge or experience that will complete us spiritually and bring us to what we really hope will be a constant state of blissful enlightenment. I know, because that's what I was after. I'm not after it anymore, but it's not. I'm not after it because I achieved it. I am not after it because I have found out it's unnecessary, and it's unnecessary to be content, which is even better than blissful, because see, blissful is. You know, but it's almost always going to be condition contingent, and we don't want to live on a level where we are conditioned contingent. We want to be able to go with what is. So even though we can't avoid it, let's at least be aware that we are not going to meditate our way into enlightenment. We are not going to inquire our way into awakening. We are not going to do any kind of formal practice or reading or anything else. We're not going to read our way into the understanding. We may, all of these things will move us along the line until they hit the wall, and the wall is that I continue to believe that it's going to get me somewhere else. That's maintaining that practice as a seeking mechanism. Be aware that it is not. Do what you do. I'm not really trying to tell you to do something or not do something. I'm just want you to be aware of the fact that your practice will not be the end. Even people that I've talked to who practice and practice and practice in Zen and stuff like that, And then came to some kind of awakening where, it was a very formal, very rigid, very structured environment and all that. I've had people like that tell me, what is there to teach? I don't, I don't know how I woke up. In other words, they're not telling me that, oh, I woke up because I sat for 10 years or 5 years or 2 years or whatever it was, or 30. And I can tell you that it will not automatically take you to enlightenment, because I have talked to a bunch of people who have who have had practices for years and years, rigid, structured practices under highly acknowledged teachers, who didn't wake up. And then they talked to me for about an hour, and they did. And it's not like I have the magic touch. It means that all of those practices and all those things move them to a certain point where they were then able to hear something that came through this, but it's not like the special message from here. It's the special place where they were, because the message is actually always freely available to us. Anybody can enlightenment is available to every human being at every moment, in every breath. I will promise you that that's the truth. I don't want to get off on a tangent, which I always do. So that's practicing, and we want to be notice that if we're practicing as a seeking mechanism, that it's probably not going to it's not going to be the finisher. So then we talk about, let's also talk about practice as a context, as a mechanism for context. And this is a great reason to practice, which is the understanding that I'm not saying that this practice is going to wake me up, but I know that it's going to give me a lot of context, so that if I get struck by grace or whatever, I'm going to have a broader understanding. And the other thing is that I simply have a broader understanding in pre-awakening. I can become a better, more functional human being, and I can become a more awake human being. Doesn't have to be that bam line of a unconsciousness and consciousness. I mean, there is that, but there's can also within certainly within human beings that are ostensibly asleep, there are certainly all levels of it, and the higher levels are what we would want to cultivate, compassion, understanding, wisdom, all of those things. And all of those things can and do arise from formal practices. The other thing is that every bit of context that we get, whether it's from reading or practice or being with a teacher or whatever it is, every lick of it will come into play the moment we awaken. It will be freely available there. The way that I talk about that is that we have something to, it's like that awakening is like snow, and there's something for it to land on, so that now the awakening has some sort of shape, and that shape comes from the context. This is an also that context will tend to, this is not always the truth, but that context will tend to make for a better teacher, because they simply have a deeper river to draw from. When I see somebody, here's Henry, his river is deep and wide. So a lot of times we can watch a teacher, and the when they harp on their experience, just this is the way it is, and da 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 da, that's a shallow well. When we can draw from really history, draw from the history of spirituality and from a deep experience of living spirituality in our own lives, and that combination, or that's really going to be able allow us to reach more people more effectively. So if we're interested in teaching or carrying this message at all, then that context is going to be a great thing. Practice will do that for us. Another thing is that practice can be a mechanism for grounding. This is in post-awakening I'm talking about now, is that we wake up. And I know that there's the sense that, oh, I woke up, now I don't have to meditate. Now I don't have to inquire or live an inquiry, or now I don't have to, I can be lazy. And that's just really not true. I can be lazy. I can wake up and I can be lazy, but you can bet I won't be awake long, because this thing is not solid. Nobody is permanently enlightened. We are awake to this moment, or we're not. We're awake to this arising, or we're not. There's nothing permanent about that. There's nothing permanent about the arising, and there's nothing permanent about our response or reaction to the rising, to the arising. So the practices in post-awakening will ground us in awakening, will allow us to really plant our feet and grow roots, if you will, within awakeness. And that will give us, again, a much deeper personal experience. It will also allow us to be of more service to others. We will grow in clarity, and that's the name of the game. That's what we're here for. That's why you're watching this video, is you're hoping to enhance your own clarity. I'm hoping to enhance mine by cutting it, and I think that there's little doubt that both of us will achieve our ends as a result of having been involved in this, and that's just the way it works. So the last thing is, how about practice for its own sake? This is probably the very best reason to practice, which is that I notice that this body is always doing something. It is doing things that advance it along the spiritual path, or it's doing things that don't necessarily advance it along the spiritual path. And not everything that I do may need to advance me along the spiritual path. I may not need to read everything that's heavy. I may not need to sit it for long periods every day. I may not need to go through formal practices in post-awakening, but I may. And if I do, let's do them until we don't need them. And we'll know when we won't need them, because they'll drop away. And they'll drop away when awakeness really becomes the spontaneous movement. When it doesn't mean we can't be pulled into delusion, but it means that our default position is not delusion. Our default position is now awakening. And we are now, in essence, pulled out of awakening by delusion. Whereas in pre-awakening, or in early awakening, we are still living in some element of delusion, and awakeness or spiritual experiences pull us out of the delusion, but our default position is identification with the dream. Whereas in radical awakeness, real awakeness, whatever you want, this awakeness, living awakeness, our default position is from beyond the dream, and everything is seen in that context. And so everything is seen completely differently. When I change the way I look at things, the way things I look at change. It really is that simple. So practice for its own sake, the best reason to practice of all. Dogen said, was a great Zen teacher, said that practice is enlightenment, and I couldn't agree more. So I'm very pro-practice, no matter where you are. And I wish you the very best of luck with yours. And write me and let me know how things are going if you want. Come see me on Awakening Clarity. It's a great joy and honor to be with you.